Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free to join us here. The number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. You can hop into one of those, and you will sound like you're sitting here in the studio with us. There is a lot to talk about here tonight, as always. But, of course, open phones, meaning you can call in and take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. It's Ian and Conan in to start things out. Johnson is stuck in a snowdrift or something like that.
Oh, it's crazy out there. We finally got our snow.
Yeah, this is like a, I don't know if it's a record or something like that, but it was a lot of damn snow up here in New England.
I don't think it's a record, but definitely.
For this time of year, though?
In about a 24-hour period, it's a bunch of snow.
It was a lot, especially for right now. I mean, it's technically not even wintertime yet. But regardless, you don't need our weather report. We've got, like I said, a lot to discuss here, including the dollar, the U.S. dollar, taking over Venezuela, apparently. So things are changing a little bit over there. Also, Donald Trump apparently is the first, and surprisingly the first, to use the Patriot Act to detain a man forever, according to TheDailyBeast.com, for the 18-year lifespan of the war on terrorism. Yes, it's actually been that long. An obscure provision of the Patriot Act permitting the indefinite detention of non-citizens on U.S. soil has gone unused. But to keep a Palestinian man behind bars even after he finished serving his sentence, the Trump administration has fired this bureaucratic Chekhov's gun. Adham Amin Hassoun, now in his late 50s, has spent nearly the entire war on terrorism in cages. He was first picked up on an immigration violation in June of 2002. He ended up standing a long trial alongside one suspected dirty bomber, Jose Padilla, but Hassoun was never accused of any act or even a plot of violence. His crime? Cutting checks to extremist-tied Muslim charities operating in places like Kosovo and Chechnya that Congress outlawed after the 9/11 attacks. Hassoun wrote all but one of those checks before 9/11. So, writing checks to charities got this guy put behind bars with no charges. He was sentenced to 15 years in federal prison. Hassoun should have been a free man in 2017. Well, I guess there were charges about the checks, but that was it. Instead, he found himself in the custody of Immigration and Customs Enforcement after he was supposed to be released, which then locked him up in Western New York. It was there that Hassoun's case turned extraordinary, as though it weren't bad enough by that point. ICE wanted to deport him, but his statelessness as a Palestinian got in the way. No country, not the Lebanon of his birth, not the Israel that occupies the West Bank and Gaza, was willing to take him. Aided by attorneys at the University of Buffalo Law School, Hassoun in January won what should have been his freedom on the grounds that his deportation was unlikely. The Trump administration instead declared him a threat to national security. It did so using an also obscure immigration regulation designed to sidestep a 2001 Supreme Court ruling imposing a six-month detention limit. And it was aided by a testimonial under seal of Hassoun's alleged misdeeds behind bars, as related by what his attorneys describe as jailhouse snitches who provided second- or third-hand accounts. And normally in court, that's not admissible as evidence. That's hearsay. When somebody says to you, so-and-so told me, well, sorry, unless you can get so-and-so on the stand to testify directly about the things that so-and-so allegedly said, that is inadmissible in almost every court, but I guess that doesn't apply to immigration court. According to the story, as the government fought what had become a habeas corpus for Hassoun's release, the Department of Homeland Security invoked for the first time in U.S. government history Section 412 of the Patriot Act. You've read that, right?
Of course I have. I have a copy at the house in this refrigerator.
Absolutely. You're just paging through it. You know, everybody's read the Patriot Act, right? No, I don't think that.
I would say many of these legislators who have voted in favor of the Patriot Act, reenacting it every single year, haven't read it either.
Yeah, I suspect the people who voted it in back when it was first put in place didn't read it, and the people who recently also reauthorized the Patriot Act, because there was also a headline recently, which we didn't really get to cover here, but talking about how Democrats, who, you know, love to talk a good game about how evil Trump is and how they oppose Trump, blah, blah, blah. Well, they reauthorized the Patriot Act, giving Trump all the power that he needs to do things like this.
Well, once they get their guy in, whenever that might be,
then it's going to be fine.
Then it'll be fine.
Right.
It's just the Trump they've got to worry about abusing these powers that...
case, he's just using the powers. The abuse is the fact that this exists in the first place. That's the abuse.
Most definitely. And the original defenders of such of this act would say, you know, as long as we have a good president in office, and as long as... Yeah, no one is ever going to take and abuse this power.
So...
Except two, three presidents later... When it's finally used for the first time, or in this case, it's, you know...
Right, 18 years later. Section 412 of the Patriot Act gives the government broad powers to detain non-citizens, so-called, on American soil, whom it can't deport, but deems that on, quote, reasonable grounds to be engaged in, quote, activity that endangers the national security of the United States, unquote. It makes that determination for a six-month period that it can renew without limit.
You know what else is scary? I read a poll today, I guess, of Republicans that states that they apparently a majority of Republicans now think that the judiciary and I think it's the Congress in general just get in the way of the president.
And they don't understand that that's the point.
They want total executive power.
Yeah.
Wow. And you said it was a majority?
Yeah, supposedly. It's
like a significant majority.
It's a very large number.
What, you want to check?
Yeah, let me see if I can find
that's
it.
That's an interesting statistic.
Isn't how Augustus Caesar
right, executive power
came into power?
Yeah, it was bad when Barack Obama had executive power, but now that it's their guy, well, we need to aggregate more power to him because they didn't aggregate enough power to George Bush to stop elections from happening, and then Barack Obama took over control. And now they need even more power,
yep,
or something. Section 412 gives the government, again, the ability to renew this six-month detention on reasonable grounds forever. To little fanfare, the former acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Kevin Mikkelinen, informed Hassoun on August 9th that, quote, "You will therefore remain in the custody of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, pending your removal from the United States or reconsideration of this decision."
Which will never happen because he doesn't have a home state.
Correct. So he won't be removed. And I guess in theory, the reconsideration is supposed to happen every 6 months. But they're not obligated to make any different choices here. Attorneys for Hassoun, who were in federal court on Friday to argue for his freedom, are stunned at the invocation of Section 412. They noted the Patriot Act provision is written to, quote, take a non-citizen into custody, unquote, not to retroactively designate someone already in detention as a threat. Quote, "If the government were to prevail in its claim of extraordinary and unprecedented executive power, the government would be free to lock up non-citizens indefinitely based solely on executive say-so, even after they completed serving their sentences," says Jonathan Hoffitz, attorney with the ACLU. ICE in the ongoing litigation declined comment. The Department of Homeland Security also did not respond to requests for comment because they're not obligated to answer your questions. You can ask whatever you want. You have a right to speak, and they have no obligation to speak back. But they will continue to demand money from you to continue paying to put peaceful people behind bars. Because this man, again, not accused of, in case you're just tuning in here and you're thinking, well, it's a terrorist. No, no. He wasn't accused of doing anything violent. All they had on him was that he cut some checks, mostly before 9/11, only one check after 9/11, to some allegedly terrorist-connected charities. That's all they got.
So apparently it's almost a majority. It's 43% now.
We'll talk about that coming up, too. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. You can join us here. Indefinite detention's happening here. This is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. You can jump into one of those and talk about whatever's on your mind. We're talking about a scary idea of indefinite detention. Apparently, and surprisingly, it has not yet been used in the United States, at least this particular provision of the Patriot Act, like within the U.S. Obviously, we know there's people in Guantanamo Bay that have been sitting there and rotting away for indefinite amounts of time. But now it's happening inside the United States, according to the story over at thedailybeast.com. And joining you in the studio tonight, by the way, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
Of course, you can bring up whatever is on your mind. Plus, I want to make sure that you know about, let's see, the LibertyCon. That's coming up April 3rd through the 5th. And we're looking forward to seeing you there because Free Talk Live will be broadcasting from the event over. You can go to libertycon.com to learn more about it. It's going to be a unique seminar or convention, and it's actually surprisingly affordable. Normally, if you go to a convention like this, you're going to be paying $300 or more in some cases for, you know, a weekend-long convention. In this case, you're talking about, I think it's $80, and I think that price is going to go up at the end of the year, so you definitely don't want to wait on getting registered for this. April 3rd through the 5th in D.C., lots of great speakers are going to be there. John Mackey from Whole Foods is going to be speaking on conscious capitalism. Vernon Smith, he has won the Nobel Prize in Economics. He'll be speaking on alternative markets. Miriam Issa is a pop culture expert and political commentator with over 300 million YouTube views. Nassim Nicholas Taleb spent 21 years as a risk taker, before becoming a researcher, in philosophical, mathematical, and practical problems with probability. You can learn more about other speakers and the events that are happening there at libertycon.com and use code FTL to save $10 on your registration over at libertycon.com. Plus, discounted rooms are available for everybody staying at the Marriott Marquis in D.C., and even student travel scholarships are available as well. Again, code FTL saves you $10 over at libertycon.com. All right, so more with your calls and thoughts, certainly welcome. You can bring up anything that's on your mind here as we continue. Johnson, you did look up the story about the statistics that you were citing from the top of your head after That's you right. walked in. What exactly are the numbers, and what was the question that was asked of these folks, Republicans, and there's numbers for Democrats as well, responding to a poll about executive power?
Sure. So this is from the Pew Research Center, which states that currently 66% of the public states that it would be too risky to give U.S. presidents more power to deal directly with many of the country's problems. About 3 in 10 adults, 29%, offering the contrasting opinion. That's a lot, by the way. The 29% offering the contrasting opinion that problems could be dealt with more effectively if U.S. presidents didn't have to worry so much about Congress or the courts. In March 2018, 76% of the public said it would be too risky to give the president's power. But this number, by the way, shifts dramatically to, and this is the answer that 43% of Republicans gave in July of 2019, many of the country's problems could be dealt with more effectively if U.S. presidents didn't have to worry so much about the courts or the Congress. And the opposite answer is it would be too risky to give the presidents more power over directly with many of the country's problems.
So there was not like an in-between, like an I don't know or unsure?
Not according to what I'm seeing here, but I don't know. They also don't seem to mention the independents.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if you were to, Johnson, if you were to go down the street right now and ask people, the slaves, I think you would probably get similar results based on probably. Party.
Oh, wow. Okay, so wait, there actually is a majority, if you look into account of the ideologically here, where they say conservative Republicans who rank themselves as conservative Republicans, not
as opposed to just party members,
mm-hmm. or moderate or liberal or moderate Republicans. If you are just citing conservative Republicans, that fact becomes a majority at 52%.
52% of so-called self-described conservative Republicans say that old pesky separation of power stuff that has resulted in
that
the
whole
largest
Constitution.
Who well, swore to uphold and protect the Constitution.
Yeah, well, of course, we know that the current situation is that the government is a humongous beast that continues to consume, you know, as much money and obedience as it possibly can, that the government that we have today isn't efficient enough. We need to give the executive branch more power. Forget about those pesky legislators. They're just getting in the way. The court system, legislating from the bench. We need a dictator. That's basically what these
all
people are saying.
All hail Caesar.
It's
and,
sick.
And some other guys.
Yeah, the government apparently isn't big enough for them. Wait, I thought they were supposed to be conservatives. Aren't conservatives supposed to be like small government? Or isn't that what they claim?
Smaller than the progressives. Progressives are all about it, but...
Sure. But in this case, the Democrats are, what was it, like 30% for the Dems? What was it? 16? I forget.
Yeah, wait, but it's not. But it's not their guy. If it was Obama, I'm sure they were saying the same
thing.
Yeah,
actually, there's another statistic here that says... favorability ratings of Congress and the parties, just over a third of Americans, 36%, say that they have a favorable view of Congress, while 59% view Congress unfavorably. And then they go on here to say...
That's not uncommon, right? Yeah. Like, normally most people don't
always,
like Congress.
That's always been.
Yeah.
Except their congressman or woman.
Although, views of Congress have grown more positive among Democrats and less positive among Republicans since Democrats won control of the House of Representatives last November. Obviously. Since March 2018, the share of Democrats and Democratic leaners with a favorable opinion of Congress has risen 19 percentage points from 24 to 43%.
Right. They see Congress as this force that's pushing back against Trump, who they hate.
Yep. The share of Republicans with a favorable view of Congress has declined 10 points. Since then, 37 to 27%. Democratic favorability in Congress is now at its highest point in the party since the party last held the House in 2010. However, currently 45% of the public has a favorable opinion of the Republican Party, while 52% view the GOP unfavorably. Opinions of the about the Democratic Party are the same: 45% favorable, 52% unfavorable. These opinions are little changed since January, but last September, 53% of Americans viewed the Democratic Party favorably, while 43% had a favorable impression of the Republican Party. So it sounds like, so what has happened is that the view of the Republican Party has increased, while the view of the Democratic Party has decreased. So
it's all so mind-numbing. It's so maddening that... Yeah. You know, and we've talked about in recent days on Free Talk Live how this partisanship has just gotten worse over time.
The majority of the country just dislikes the other party. It's not that they have a like for a current party. It's just
they don't know what the other party stands for.
Yeah.
They just know they don't like them.
And it doesn't matter what the other party stands for, because if they were told that their party stood for something, it wouldn't... Like, they don't have their own set of principles.
No, they don't.
It's like, whatever the other party stands for, I'm against it.
But you know where you see such... other similar hatreds like this? Sports.
Yes.
That's right.
I hate them, son of a guns. They're doing the exact same thing my team is doing, but I hate them.
Yep. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want. It's free. I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet, at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Whether you want to talk about the mind-numbing ignorance of people and their political party favorites.
Sports,
or do I repeat myself? Or you want to discuss this ridiculous indefinite detention, this outrageous story coming out of the United States. It's not just a Guantanamo thing anymore. So Ian Johnson and Conan in the studio. Plus, coming up, Conan's got a Mandela of the Week plus Game of the Week. That's all on the way here tonight. Now, of course, you can bring up anything that you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live brought to you by HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com. You ready to start accepting Bitcoin at your point of sale, at your business, whether you have a brick-and-mortar building that people come to, or you maybe go to your customers. You want to accept Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies like Dash or Bitcoin Cash? Just get over to HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com, and they'll walk you through the process. It's free to do it. So why not? Do you want to be on the cutting edge? Do you want to offer your customers more options? Possibly get some new business through the door? It's all possible when you start taking cryptocurrency. There's no paperwork. There's no hoop jumping. You just create an account, username and password, and that's it. You got to download their app to your device for your point of sale, and then it's pretty easy. It's iOS or Android devices qualify. Plus, any old web browser will work as well. Get over to HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com and get started there. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we can continue riffing on these ridiculous statistics showing a significant number of Republicans, and especially those who describe themselves as conservative Republicans, over 50% of them, and in the 40 percentile, like 43 or something like that, I think it was, of all Republicans, think that there ought to be more power aggregated to the executive branch. They want to see more executive detentions, more indefinite detentions, because, you know, we need to have more power to one particular side of the government in order to just get things done. And by get things done, we mean oppress people's freedoms and destroy their liberties and their rights, because that's all it could ever mean. They give the executive branch more power. It's not like he's going to use it to go and arrest Congress or something like that.
I still love Pew's methodology on these things, where it's based on a telephone interview conducted July 10th through 15th among a national sample of 1,502 adults, 18 years of age or older, living in all 50 U.S. states in the District of Columbia. 302 respondents were interviewed on a landline telephone.
Okay. 300 out of 50. What was the total?
1,500?
1,500?
Yeah, 1,502. So okay. 302 were interviewed on a landline telephone, and 1,200 were interviewed on a cell phone, including 807 who had no landline telephone.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever been contacted by any of these big wig?
Constantly.
Really?
Yeah, I get research calls constantly.
Only on the landline?
No, cell phone.
But I'm answering his question. I've only been contacted on landline.
Because I have never been contacted. Well, maybe I'm screening my calls and disabling blocking numbers immediately.
Maybe.
Right off the bat. And so they just, I don't know.
Although actually the number that I provide most places is the Google Voice number. So that's probably how I'm getting.
You know what I'm getting? You know, my cases. Google Voice number is being hit up by the Chiners. It's just nothing but Chinese, something in Chinese, Mandarin, excuse me.
Okay.
So I don't know what they're trying to sell me.
How do you know it's Mandarin as opposed to Chinese?
I thought it was the same thing.
Well,
is it? I don't know.
Simplified or what's it? You know, I guess Mandarin. Yeah, no, Mandarin I think is the common Chinese language as opposed to, Cantonese or... Yeah, I think Mandarin and Cantonese are the two primary Chinese languages.
Okay, I didn't even know Chinese wasn't a language.
I want to say Sichuan, but that's a type of food, I believe. That's a regional province about food. I'm also getting a lot
of 1-800 numbers that leave voicemails. They'll leave a message, and it's in Chinese.
Really?
So every so often, you just need to pick up and be like, ni hao. Ni hao, ah. Just learn some basic Chinese phrases.
Epstein didn't kill himself in Chinese. I don't know what that is.
So if you want to jump in, you can.
No, just answer and say, I support Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah, there's, that's good.
Then they hang up on you.
Well, Trump supposedly supports Hong Kong. Didn't he sign a declaration of some sort recently?
Supposedly.
Yeah.
The Chinese people, it's very important, the freedom.
He's very concerned with their freedom, but not so much the freedom of this guy, Mr. Hassoum, who was detained indefinitely. Adham Amin Hassoum, now in his late 50s, has been behind bars since 2002, sentenced to 15 years in federal prison initially for simply cutting some checks to so-called extremist-tied Muslim charities operating in places like Kosovo and Chechnya that were subsequently outlawed after 9/11. He wrote one check after 9/11, and they put him in prison for 15 years.
Wow.
When he was released, they wanted to send him back to where he was from, but he's a stateless person because he's from Palestine. And so they couldn't get anyone to accept him back from where he, you know, where he's from. And so they just decided they're going to use Section 412 of the Patriot Act to take a non-citizen into custody and keep him there until further notice, because there's apparently no limit to how long they can detain people under this section of the act, which has never been used until this guy. Here's the rest of the story from thedailybeast.com. Bureaucrats at ICE and Homeland Security are not commenting. According to the story here, they are interviewing his attorney. And actually, this is the former acting secretary of Homeland Security, Kevin Mikkelinen, who had informed Hassoun that he will be, quote, remaining in custody of ICE pending your removal from the United States, which is, there's no plan for that, or reconsideration of the decision. He claimed in his August invocation of the Patriot Act that he did so because Hassoun, quote, assumed a leadership role in a criminal conspiracy to recruit fighters and provide material support to terrorist groups, and because you pose a continuing threat to recruit, plan, participate in, and provide material support for terrorist activity, unquote. Yet the federal judge in his criminal case painted a far different picture of Hassoun during his 2008 sentencing. That judge, Marsha Cook, said at the time, quote, there was, quote, no evidence that these defendants personally maimed, killed, or kidnapped anyone in the United States or elsewhere, and the government could find no identifiable victims as the result of their actions, she said. Cook, who was a Bush appointee, specifically rejected the life sentence that the Justice Department sought for Hassoun, noting that years of a government surveillance on him never resulted in his criminal arrest. Quote, this fact does not support the government's argument that Mr. Hassoun poses such a danger to the community that he needs to be imprisoned for the rest of his life, said the judge at the time. Unquote. The administration's portrayal of Hassoun contrasts with the man Nicole Hallett and Jonathan Maines, professors at the Buffalo Law School, meet nearly every week at the ICE Detention Center in Batavia. They describe someone who operates as a paternal figure to other Muslim detainees. He aids their court cases by poring over the law books in the library. Locked up with about 30 other immigration detainees, his red jumpsuit marking him as a security threat, Hassoun wakes early to help prepare breakfast in the facility kitchens. Even after what has become a 17-year ordeal in various cells, he keeps up with American pop culture and is a fan of the USA Network legal drama Suits. Using Section 412 of the Patriot Act to prolong his confinement was so unlikely that a March New York Times story referenced it only as a tactic by government attorneys to bolster the legitimacy of the immigration regulation. 5 months later, it was a reality. To Hallett, the shock of his detention even after Hassoun served his criminal sentence matched with the unprecedented means the administration is using to keep him locked up testifies to the degradation of the rule of law in the post-9/11 era. The attorney said, quote, this is Guantanamo on domestic soil. The government is trying to detain him as long as it wants, and that prison happens to be in Batavia, New York, not at Guantanamo Bay. And if they can get away with this one, how long before they're going to do number two?
Baby steps,
and
Ian.
Three, baby steps, five, and ten, and fifty.
But it's for our safety because we don't want any more buildings coming down, right?
And how long before it's one of your friends or family members?
That's the way it works.
That gets taken into custody. Oh, but it's only for non-citizens. You don't have to anything to worry about, right? 855-450-FREE. Just, you know, get back to your sport. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. You know, Guantanamo Bay doesn't get much coverage these days. At least I don't see a whole lot of stories about Guantanamo Bay. I mean, have you guys heard anything about what's happening in Guantanamo Bay in the last half a decade?
Out of sight, out of mind.
Trump closed it, right?
Right after Barack Obama closed it.
Yeah, right after Obama did.
Right, right.
Sad stuff, but because now it's coming home. And you know, the old saying from, was it Pastor Martin Niemöller, the old poem from the late 30s, early 40s, first they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, I didn't stand up, first then they came for the trade unionists, and I wasn't a trade unionist, so I didn't stand up, and then they came for me, and there was nobody else, I'm paraphrasing it, there's nobody else left to stand up. So, you know, you don't stand up for the folks that are in Guantanamo Bay because you figure, well, they're terrorists. They deserve what happens to them. Well, they haven't had a trial. Well, it doesn't matter. They must have done something wrong. That's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mentality of people who support this stuff. Many of whom probably now support aggregating more power to the executive branch. I imagine if you asked that same polling sample about how they felt about Guantanamo Bay, they'd probably overwhelmingly support it. In fact, I wonder...
Look at Trump's pardon of Arpaio.
Joe Arpaio, America's toughest sheriff.
Yeah, who's essentially, you know, been trying to create Guantanamo on U.S. soil mm-hmm. as far as he possibly can.
Well, yes, and thankfully Arpaio is out of office, at least. I heard a rumor he might be trying to run again for sheriff down there
in Arizona. Hopefully he's old and dies.
He is very old. He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
Last I heard. So if you want to comment, you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We're sharing a story from the dailybeast.com that there's, guess what? Guantanamo Bay has hit the United States. They've now used the Patriot Act, Section 412 of it, to prolong a man's detention on alleged immigration grounds now, after he'd spent 15 years in federal prison with no real actual crime, just for donating some money to some so-called extremist Muslim charities, or rather, extremist-connected Muslim charities. So I don't know what that really means. I presume it's a Muslim charity that allegedly has ties in some way to so-called extremists. I don't know if that means they get money from extremists, or they give money to extremists, or what that means.
Apparently December 11th is like Guantanamo Day.
What does that mean?
It's like the this December 11th will be the 116th birthday of Guantanamo.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know it'd been down there that long.
Yep, apparently.
So, again, this attorney's saying this is Guantanamo on domestic soil. And he's absolutely right. This guy's being held indefinitely. They can't send him back to where he's from. And they don't want to let him out. So they've got a six-month window of time that they can just keep on renewing until he dies. They talk about how he's actually a pretty well-behaved prisoner. He's helping other prisoners, you know, study. He watches television. He works in the kitchen. Hassoun is said to be mentally sharp. His physical health is a different question. Twice in Batavia, he's been hospitalized, say his attorneys, after hunger strikes to protest his confinement exacerbated his diabetes and a pre-existing heart condition. Then comes the loneliness and the sense of injustice. His wife moved to Lebanon with their children over a decade ago. Last year, Hassoun told Hallett and Mainz about his youngest son's acceptance to college. The young man was 2 years old when his father was arrested. Hassoun believes that his prosecution was the result of his 2002 decision while in immigration custody not to turn federal informant.
There it is. Ding, ding, ding.
So he wouldn't go along with what the gang wanted him to do, and so they punished him.
Yep.
Unlike many immigrant detainees, Hassoun isn't contesting deportation. His attorney said he would leave the country if one would take him. Another eerie parallel to Guantanamo. Quote, Adham just wants to live peacefully someplace, said his attorney. A sister in Florida, U.S. citizen, could assume custody for him under supervised release. Quote, he feels quite a bit of angst over the fact that he had served his sentence and feels like he should be released. He's worried about dying in prison. So there you go. What's next? Who's next? Where does it go from here? And what do you do to stop it? Because whoever the Democrats put forward is likely not going to do anything to change this situation. You can ask them about it. They'll probably dodge the question or talk about how important it is to have strong tools to fight the war on terrorism. This man could be dangerous.
This reminds me a little bit, and I'm sure it's been talked about recently on the show. I mean, I might be wrong, but about the crypto investor who, I guess, was working with North Korea.
I have that story too.
Oh, you have that story now?
Yeah, well, I have it on my show prep for tonight. I don't.
Okay, so it hasn't been covered. Well, it sounds pretty, like, you know, related to this.
Yeah, it's definitely related to this. I'm just double checking to make sure they didn't talk about it last night. No, it looks like they did not. So yeah, that's another outrageous story. You're talking about a programmer, I think, or somebody that knows a thing or two about how cryptocurrency works. Mm-hmm.
And he went to, I guess, the North Koreans have a crypto conference. you know, like the crypto conferences that are happen around the country. I think there's a crypto conference in Mexico. There's crypto conferences at a bunch of places.
I didn't know that's what it was. I thought it was just, yeah, I guess it was a conference of some sort. Well, anyway, apparently he went and he spoke.
Right. And therefore,
and that's a crime.
He's a terrorist.
Yeah. Spoke to the wrong people, because apparently Right. Free speech doesn't actually apply if you speak to someone the government doesn't like.
Right.
Wait. So he spoke to their government?
He spoke at a crypto conference that occurred in North Korea and therefore is being prosecuted and imprisoned for helping the North Koreans to avoid U.S. sanctions. And therefore, he is a treasonous terrorist who must be imprisoned because he is helping the North Koreans to avoid United States sanctions on trade.
I get that.
By funneling money through cryptocurrency,
is this not also happening in Venezuela and Iran right now as we speak?
Trying to avoid sanctions, you mean?
Well, I mean, no. Cryptocurrency experts going to those countries and... helping out interested parties.
Absolutely. I mean, the folks from Dash.
Be scared if you are.
So why aren't they being imprisoned?
Because they haven't found them yet, maybe? I don't know.
This guy talked to the FBI, from what I understand, and that was a mistake number one.
Yeah.
I've got a couple different stories on this, actually, Johnson. One from Forbes, the other the Associated Press. According to a press release, this is Forbes, from the Department of Justice... Virgil Griffith, a resident of Singapore and U.S. citizen, was arrested for a criminal complaint that he's been charged with violating the International Emergency Economic Powers Act.
Oh, it's always great when it's an emergency power. Those are always
the
fun.
Worst.
Yeah.
IEEPA, by traveling to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, or North Korea, in order to deliver a presentation and technical advice on using cryptocurrency and blockchain technology to evade sanctions. FBI's assistant director in charge, Bill Sweeney Jr., said, quote, Mr. Griffith allegedly traveled to North Korea without permission from the federal government and without knowledge what he was doing was against the law. With knowledge that what he was doing was against the law. We cannot allow anyone to evade sanctions because the consequences of North Korea obtaining funding, technology, and information to further its desire to build nuclear weapons put the world at risk. It's even more egregious that a U.S. citizen allegedly chose to aid our adversary. Unquote.
Allegedly. Very important word there.
Well, it's alleged because they haven't proved the case
right.
yet. Although, again, he spoke to the FBI, so...
Well, if they throw the Patriot Act at this guy, they won't have to prove anything. He'll just rot in jail for the next 50 years.
Oh, but he's a citizen, Conan. No worries.
Singapore.
He's okay. Yeah, but he's a U.S. citizen, so he's okay. He's got himself a right to trial.
Well, these are the baby steps we were talking about a second ago. Maybe
they threw that out the window with Obama, right? Killing
right to trial?
Al-Awlaki?
Yep.
Good point, yeah.
I mean, he just blew that guy right up. No trial. No,
trial by drone.
No due process.
In this case, Griffith is specifically accused of traveling to North Korea in April of this year to attend and present at the Pyongyang Blockchain and Cryptocurrency Conference. Even though the U.S. Department of State had denied him permission to travel to the DPRK, he presented at the conference, knowing that doing so violated sanctions against North Korea, and at no time did he obtain permission from the from OFAC, what is that, Office of Foreign Assets and Control or something like that, to provide goods, services, or technology to the DPRK. The order from the government said, quote, despite receiving warnings where he went there and taught the audience how to use blockchain technology to evade sanctions, by this complaint, we begin the process of seeking justice.
Office of Foreign Assets Control.
That's
and it's a part of the Treasury Department, of course.
The toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. Should somebody be free in a country with supposed free speech to be able to say things to people the government doesn't like? I would say, yeah. That's what's, you're supposed to be able to, if you're saying things that are unpopular, that's what free speech is designed to.
She seems happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is a 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we
we tried failed, except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite .com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Hey, if you're going to go to North Korea and give a presentation to the government there, I mean, it's probably just as illegal to just give any presentation about blockchain in North Korea as long as like some guy from the government happens to show up or whatever. But dude from the U.S., who lives in Singapore but is still a U.S. citizen, has been arrested. His name is Virgil Griffith. And, Johnson, you brought this up here tonight, and I actually happen to have the story in show prep. I've been meaning to talk about it for a couple days. We just haven't had a chance. He's awaiting appearance in federal court as of last week, or I guess on Friday, when he was arrested. He was arrested Thursday at Los Angeles International Airport. So here's a tip. Tip number one, if you're going to go to North Korea and speak about blockchain, or period, if you're just going to go to North Korea, and you probably just don't want to come back to the United States after
that.
But
don't ask permission.
To go there in the first place?
Like he did. He was already on
their
hit
radar.
List. He was on the radar.
Yeah. So he asked permission. It was denied. And then according to the story at the this is Associated Press, the story from fifthdomain.com, he went through a North Korean diplomatic mission facility in Manhattan, paid 100 euro, and then traveled through China in April to get to North Korea. So he went there anyway. Then he came back to the United States and was arrested. Mm-hmm. So that's tip number one. But tip number two is, even if you're going to come back to the United States and then they arrest you, don't talk to the police. And that includes the FBI. Don't talk to the FBI. Number one, because it's a bad reason, you know, it's a bad idea, period, to talk to the police. The more you talk to the police, the closer you are to catching a criminal charge. And then number two, and it doesn't matter if you think that, you know what you're doing or whatever. Even if you've got your attorney with you, there's really no reason to talk to them. I mean, if you're going to talk to them, you should have your attorney with you. Because that way your attorney can be like, no, you don't have to answer. They can remind you, you don't have to answer their questions. If you have your attorney with you, then, you know, you can also, or if for some reason you seem like you need to talk to the police, you can record it. Because remember, the FBI will not record your interviews. As we learned during their trial for our co-host, then known as Rich Paul, now his name is Nobody. The FBI testified, the agent testified at trial. It is the FBI's policy to not record interviews.
Yep.
Now, why would they not want to record interviews?
Their say.
So what you're saying is the FBI never records Nobody.
That's correct. No, well, actually, they never. That would be a double negative. That would mean they do record people. They never record anybody. That's what they do. And it's right what you said, Conan, because then it's their word against yours. Well, the suspect told us, blah, 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 blah. Well, no, I didn't. Well, how do you prove that? So he made a huge mistake. He spoke to the FBI. According to the criminal complaint against him, he showed the FBI photographs of himself in North Korea and provided agents with propaganda from the country. It said that Griffith planned to facilitate the exchange of cryptocurrency between North and South Korea and encouraged other U.S. citizens to attend the same conference next year. U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan said in their news release, quote, Griffith announced his intention to renounce his U.S. citizenship and began researching how to purchase citizenship from other countries. Again, it would have been a good idea to just stay out. I mean, if you're really serious about renouncing citizenship, then that means you don't want to come back to the United States. Because if you renounce citizenship, and I'm not saying I'm against that idea. I think, For the folks that want to do it, I think it's a great idea. Just remember, if you're not a citizen, then you don't have a right to come back. And so if they want to ban you from coming back in, they can. They will treat you just like they treat other immigrants, other visitors. You'd have to have a visa coming from certain countries, etc. So that's what happens. So Roger Ver, for instance, who friend of the show, longtime advertiser from Bitcoin.com, he also renounced his citizenship. And you know what? He had to pay six figures in back taxes to do it.
Wow.
From what I've heard. So it is not an easy process. And after that process was done, he decided he didn't want to come back to the United States.
But Ian, if you don't like how we do our business here, you can just leave.
Sure. After you pay your exit tax and jump through whatever hoops they put up for you. They say here that prosecutors say another person involved in the alleged conspiracy was to be brought to New York and arrested. That person is not named in the criminal complaint against Griffith. So they're going to snatch somebody else up if they get the chance. The U.S. attorney, if you're that guy or gal or whatever, if you happen to know that you also were, you know, traveling to North Korea with this Griffith character and you're still in the United States, you might want to hitch a ride down to Mexico. Like tonight. Prosecutors, attorney in Manhattan, Jeffrey Berman, said Griffith, quote, provided highly technical information to North Korea, knowing that this information could be used to help North Korea launder money and evade sanctions. Griffith has contributed to the hacker magazine 2600, which tweeted Friday that his arrest amounted to, quote, an attack on all of us, unquote. I kept warning him that it was a trap, said the magazine's editor, Emmanuel Goldstein, in a separate Twitter post, adding that Griffith, get this, insisted on speaking to the FBI without a lawyer. So just to be clear, the trap wasn't going to North Korea. The trap was speaking to the FBI, according to the editor of 2600. What's ironic is that afterwards he was convinced they totally got where he was coming from. After speaking to the FBI, he thought they were okay with it. Mm. I mean, just the level of ignorance. How can you be? I just don't understand this. I've read 2600 in the past. I mean, I'm not a hacker, but you know, back in the 90s or whatever, I grabbed a copy, you know, way back in the day when they were talking about blue boxes and red boxes and all the, you know, the
how
hacker
how
equipment.
Old is this Griffith guy?
30-ish. So, 36.
Wait, why do you mention 2600?
He was a contributor.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so he knew and was known by the people at the magazine.
Yeah, I'm sure several feds are contributors, too.
The editor tried to tell him, don't go, dude. Right. Don't go. Don't talk to the FBI. You are a 2600 contributor. You, more than anyone else, should know that this is a bad plan.
So Singapore and what part of the country here? You said Manhattan?
Well, they picked him up in Los Angeles, but the charges are coming out of Manhattan.
So he might be a Silicon Valley guy.
There's a good chance.
He might be very left-leaning, mm-hmm. and he probably used to trust his government. And now he's having to learn the hard way.
I just don't understand.
Sometimes you got to let the kid put his hand in the fire. And
yeah, well.
You can't tell them otherwise until they learn on their own.
I don't know what the potential sentence is for this, but I suspect it's treason, which could be the death penalty. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. Dave is in Colorado. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Dave.
In Colorado, but I'll be back in a week.
All right. Glad to hear it.
So I have more New Hampshire news for you. Liberty actress and possibly some allies in the vaccine skeptic community have stopped the federal government or stopped the state of New Hampshire from taking a federal grant, at least temporarily, which would be used to create or enhance a registry of people's vaccine history.
And take a lot of money, too, right? A lot of federal money?
Yeah. So what's been happening so far is that in 2016, New Hampshire became the last state to establish a vaccine, you know, registry of vaccine users. And, of course, 3 years later, they still don't have a working registry because they're just about wasting money, apparently. I guess they've already spent over $1 million, and they've gotten really apparently nothing interesting to show for it. So the feds have thought, well, we just throw some more money at it. We can help New Hampshire by throwing money at their government program to monitor people.
Hmm.
And so I guess there were a lot of activists out at the state house, and the executive council voted, or at least delayed, the acceptance of this grant.
And so what would the grant require on the part of the government, just to take the money and keep going with the program?
I don't know, other beyond the fact that I would obviously be for, you know, enhancing their registry. I don't know what other things came.
Hold that thought, Dave. I know you said you had more news. We'll share that in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial in toll free here. The toll free number 855-450-FREE. More on the 2600 contributor, Hacker Quarterly writer, who should have known better. He decided he was just going to go have a chat with the FBI after they wanted to talk to him after his visit to North Korea. A story that's been making headlines around the U.S. That is just tragic. I mean, all the dude did was give a presentation. Probably didn't tell them anything they couldn't find out by going and watching some YouTube videos. I mean, it's not like, what's he going to tell them about Bitcoin that isn't already publicly available? It's not like he knows some kind of special secrets. He probably, I don't know if he speaks Korean, but they had him go and speak at this this conference. I mean, I imagine there probably aren't too many Korean Bitcoin videos, although I guess the South Koreans probably have a lot of Bitcoin videos. I've heard Bitcoin's pretty big down there. Anyway, we can talk more about it here with you tonight, by the way. It's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
And if you're sick and tired of Washington politicians making decisions about you and your family's health care, then you need to go to betterplans.net. Yeah, Obamacare, they said it was going to help you with health care being more affordable and give you choices, but it's turned into high-priced insurance with little choice. The folks at BetterPlans.net believe there was a better way to do health insurance, and they figured out how. You can call them at 800-714-1802 to get a fast and free quote. The truth is, you can get an affordable health care plan that costs hundreds of dollars less per month, but the first step is to become aware of how the wool's being pulled over your eyes. You can download their ebook for free. It's called Dirty Little Secrets at BetterPlans.net. Their sample pricing for plans is there. It's every bit as good as the major providers' plans for as little as $145 a month for a single, and even greater savings for families and businesses. You can get access to educational videos and a free quote, plus your free ebook, Dirty Little Secrets, at BetterPlans.net. Obamacare's enrollment deadline for this year is December 15th. So don't delay. You can visit betterplans.net or call 800-714-1802. Let's go back to Dave in Colorado before we talk more about the FBI cracking down on a guy that just went to give a speech just to a group of people the federal government doesn't like. Dave, you're back on. And this is, by the way, Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com, who is a great liberty activist from here in New Hampshire. He's been out there in Colorado. Was it family issues, I think, that they've been kind of trapping you out there for a little while, Dave?
My mom has some health issues.
Gotcha. Well, glad to hear that you're on your way back. Hopefully that's some good news. But you had more news for us about New Hampshire. What's going on?
Yeah, so we were talking about how the New Hampshire was, I guess, the last state to establish a registry of vaccine users or people's vaccine history. But it's interesting how, you know, oftentimes people say, well, New Hampshire is so backward. They're the last state to impose this new restriction. But then you look at how people are actually behaving, and you find that the people are behaving better in that area. For instance, New Hampshire has, according to this Concord Monitor article, one of the highest rates of immunization in the country, even though it was the last one to establish this government registry.
So are you one of these vaccine supporters? Because I know that some people feel very strongly about this issue.
Oh, no, I don't know, you know, for sure. I'm not against taking vaccines, and I have taken some in my life, and I might take more. I don't know. I think, you know, the science seems to, I think we'd have, there's not enough there in the anti-vaxxer debate, but I'm willing to listen.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. I mean, I can respect the people that don't want to do it because from what they've said, there's some scary stuff about vaccines. Of course, the people that do advocate for them have good arguments as well. I mean, I don't know if either of you guys here in the studio have any opinions about it.
I don't trust Big Pharma.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad I'm not dead.
The important thing is just that people not be forced to underwrite government programs against their will, or take, probably they shouldn't be forced to even take vaccines against their will.
I would agree there. Now, are they forced to take vaccines against their will? Is my understanding that you aren't forced to take them, but they do highly incentivize it by basically saying, well, you know, if you want free government schools, then you have to get the vaccines.
That's how they get you. And I don't know what the rules are here in New Hampshire. I don't know what the if you can opt out for religious reasons
and still go to the school.
Correct. I'm not sure what it is.
I think that basically every decade or so, if you're against vaccines, you should scratch yourself with rusty nails just to test the theory.
But I do know that my daughter did attend one semester here, and she was required to present all forms.
Ooh, and she did had, she?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But this whole registry, their argument is that no one is able to keep all the vaccine information over the years because they lose that piece of paper or whatever. And what they need is they need a statewide registry, and everyone will have access to it, the schools and the doctors and government. And it's for you. It's for the kids. It's keeping us safe. That's their argument. Oh, and they're going to throw a lot of money in on it, to incentivize the state to actually get on board with this program.
Well, and that's what you'd called about tonight, Dave, is you said that the state's executive council, which, as I understand it, is the group of five people that works with the governor to approve certain expenditures over a certain amount of money. And it's a relatively small amount. I don't recall what it is. But you're saying that this executive council has, at this point, deferred. They've not yet rejected, but they've said they've sort of kicked the can down the road on accepting this government grant from the feds.
Well, it says, quote, in response to a rush of emails and texts with almost 24 parents protesting outside, the executive council yielded the public pressure, postponing consideration of a $1.5 million federal grant, unquote.
And isn't that amazing? 24 parents. I've seen pictures of all these guys in the state house.
Made a difference.
And a lot of people think, you know, the argument is I'm not going all the way to Concord to argue against mm-hmm. something that I believe wholly in my heart, because I'm not going to, my ideas don't mean a lick of spit to these guys.
Well, that's one of the reasons why New Hampshire was chosen as the destination for this liberty migration that's been going on, is because, first of all, the reason, in my opinion, one of the reasons why New Hampshire beat out Wyoming in the vote, because there was a vote of 10 different states for the Free State Project, is size.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal to go from Keene, where we live, in the southwestern corner of the state, an hour and 10 minutes to go to Concord. That's not a huge drive. Whereas when, Johnson, you and I, we lived in Florida for some time down in Sarasota, it would have been a four and a half hour drive if we wanted to go to Tallahassee. I've never been.
Yeah. We'd have to get a hotel for that.
Yeah, I lived there for 26 years. I've never been to Tallahassee.
And the amount of legislators in this state as well. I mean, we have seven here just in Keene. So I mean, if you don't agree with one of them, you can go knock on the other guy's door.
Dave, was there other story that you wanted to relate tonight, or was that it?
Well, systemically, this is one of the big advantages of New Hampshire. Most states don't have anything like the executive council. Hmm. It's almost like a vice governor that can veto the governor.
Yep. Hmm.
Interesting. Hey, Dave, thanks for sharing tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. That's Dave over at the Ridley Report at ridleyreport.com. Look forward to seeing you back when you get up here. Hopefully you'll swing by Keene and say hi to us. Always nice to see you. Dave Ridley there. More coming up here in moments. You can share your thoughts with us. More on this guy who went and gave a speech in North Korea.
Should have done a video conference.
Remember, it still would have been illegal. It was him giving them information that they didn't like. It's one thing that he traveled there. They didn't like that either. But more coming. Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com. Thank you. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're giving out free advice here tonight. Now, this isn't legal advice, kids, because none of us are attorneys on this show, but it is free advice because legal advice usually costs you money. You got to pay attorneys for that stuff. But tip number one, don't talk to the police, because usually if the police, in this case the FBI, want to interview you, it's because you're a suspect. They have information about you, and they want you to confirm that information. They want you to admit to committing some sort of crime, or in this case, some kind of non-crime. Because I don't believe, and if you disagree with me, please call in, because I know you guys aren't going to disagree on this. If you disagree, if you think that it should be illegal, that this guy should go to prison for giving a presentation about blockchain technology, that's the technology behind Bitcoin, to the North Koreans, then I would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, because that's what's happening to this guy. 855-450-3733. Speaking of Bitcoin, you and anyone in the world who wants to can go to Bitcoin.com and learn more about cryptocurrency. They got a lot of features at Bitcoin.com. One of the newer features is their local.bitcoin.com website, which allows you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods. There are a bunch of different options there, and it's a global trading platform. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, which is a huge difference between it and other sites like it. And all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. So if you want to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash, get over there. If you're going to sell Bitcoin Cash, you do need to do your due diligence and learn about the different payment methods. Some of them are high risk, and that means you're the one taking the extreme risk in that case. So keep that in mind.
PayPal.
Yeah, that's one of them. If you are a buyer, you're not as at great of a risk on the site, but you still probably want to only buy from people that have some sales under their belt. So Aria DiMezzo, our Monday night host, she's the number one seller on the site. So if you want a safe trade, trade with Aria over at local.bitcoin.com. If you buy from somebody that's got zero trades, then, you know, it could be a little rough, depending. You know, I'm not saying that everybody with zero trades is bad, because at some point, every seller had zero trades. So keep that in mind. Local.bitcoin.com. Get on over there. You can get started buying and selling Bitcoin Cash. Virgil Griffith is the man's name. He's 36 years old. He's currently in custody, and they are charging him. I don't even know what the charges. I don't know if it says what the actual name of these charges are here. Charged a cryptocurrency expert with violating economic sanctions. So I guess that's
treason.
That's it. Is that treason? Is that the same thing? If you're dealing with the enemy. If you are, and again, remember the FBI agent who was speaking to the media about this was basically saying that he's empowering them to get nuclear weapons somehow, right? By helping them evade sanctions, that will help them somehow purchase nuclear weapons or develop them. And so therefore, he's putting American lives in jeopardy, and therefore, they're going to seek some serious penalties against this guy for this. They're going to try to paint him as a real bad guy, as though he's enabling terrorism. Enabling the enemies of the United States. The conference that he spoke at in Pyongyang was only attended by about 100 people. According to prosecutors, they said several appeared to work for the North Korean government. Well, how do they know? Was it streamed online? Or did they have agents at the conference as well? I gotta wonder about that. The criminal complaint says Griffith showed the FBI photographs of himself in North Korea. The head of the hacker magazine 2600, Emmanuel Goldstein, said in a Twitter post that Griffith insisted on speaking to the FBI without an attorney. What's ironic, he said, is that afterwards he was convinced they totally got where he was coming from. Which is really sad. I mean, look, I'm not saying you're a hacker, Johnson, but you know, you've been in over the years. You and I, we've both sort of interfaced with some of these people, right?
Presumably I've been contacted by the FBI.
Yeah, well, not the FBI, but like hackers.
By the FBI.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Really?
Not
is that
me.
Something you want to talk about on the air?
I've talked about it on the air before, actually. It was a long time ago. It was when we were in Florida, and I went in a 2600 chat room and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like an IRC chat room?
Yeah, because somebody had screwed me over. I'd done a bunch of graphic design work for this guy and...
was he a hacker?
Me and my roommate at the time, no, just not even really hacking. We just guessed this guy's password. It was just that obvious.
We're it his dog's name, his girlfriend's name, password?
He had like a Disney fan site and it was like... The
Nikki, name, 123.
Something like that. And so we were like, you know, this guy wasn't going to pay me. He was being real obvious that he was just being a dick and that he knew he was in the wrong. He didn't care. He wasn't going to, you know.
He got your services and he has the money.
Right. And, and F you. And we're like, well, okay, well, we have the password to your website. And we're going to give it out in a hacker channel.
Wow.
So like essentially was what we're going to do and say, you know, we're not going to do anything to the website. So... You know, we can't get in trouble, but we'll give out the password and let somebody else just take control and just destroy your work. And
if you have the key to someone's house, is it breaking and entering?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, but the FBI sure wanted to let you know.
Really?
Because we did that and immediately got a phone call.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like they were hanging
like it
out
was
in
within
the
5 minutes.
They were hanging out in the chat room.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Within 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was really fast.
So they like traced your IP address and somehow figured out whose name was on the account with the internet provider and got the cell phone number of
presumably they contacted the owner of the site and then got the contact information from him.
Oh.
So, you know, that it but it was like real fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you talk to him?
I mean they were just, they kind of talked at me.
Okay. What did they say?
Don't do that. I mean, essentially is what it boiled down to.
So they threatened you, but they didn't actually like arrest you.
Yeah, no. It was just like a threat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe because it wasn't actually illegal what you did. I don't know. If it was illegal, then why wouldn't they go ahead and pick you up?
And why would they have warned you not to do it? Because that's just not their, that's not how
they
do
roll.
Business.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was a long time ago.
Are you sure
ago.
It was the FBI?
Pretty sure either that or it was somebody claiming to be an FBI who was a white hat hacker
that could be
I don't know.
Yeah, so that would have been one of the things where if you'd have gotten the phone number, you could have reverse looked up the phone number
right.
And then seen if it was like registered to the FBI or something.
But
like
I could absolutely I could see it being somebody. I mean, there are law enforcement officers sometimes will let you go. You know, they'll sometimes let you off with a warning, and that might be what they saw that it, you know, like they were like, if this isn't a hacking incident, this is somebody just sharing somebody's password and understanding
don't
the story.
Do that, boy.
You know, because we the story was shared alongside with the password. So you know,
well maybe they felt sorry for you then. They're sorry that you got stiffed and they were just giving you a little warning.
Yeah.
Because usually I mean, if they can't catch you in the act, then they can't prove their existence. They can't prove what they're out there protecting the innocent slaves.
Back to the story here. Griffith, again, the man picked up by the FBI in Los Angeles after visiting North Korea. He seemed to think that he'd convinced the FBI that everything was totally fine, and then they arrested him. The U.S. and the U.N. Security Council have imposed increasingly tight sanctions, this is the AP story, by the way, on North Korea in recent years, to try to rein in its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. Pyongyang says it wants the U.S. to get their sanctions lifted and provide security guarantees before North Korea will abandon advancing its nuclear arsenal. The U.S. has said the North has to take substantial steps towards denuclearization before the sanctions will come off. And, of course, for those that have been maybe not paying close attention, there have been some meetings between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Rocket
so it's
man.
Okay.
Little rocket man.
Well, that's what Trump had called him before they met. Now they're buddies.
Right.
And so it's been like almost 2 years, I think, since the first. I think it was maybe a year and a half, probably like a year and a half ago. It was like April of a year and a half ago, and they had their first meeting, and it was a pretty historic meeting because no president had ever met with one of the supreme rulers of North Korea before. Unfortunately, the ball hasn't really moved ahead particularly in any kind of a fast method. I mean, but there's been some sort of significant symbolic gestures that have been made, but again, nothing has really changed ultimately in North Korea. It's Free Talk. It's Free Talk Live, dial toll-free and bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. Like freedom, that's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm, so feel free to join us there. Joining you here tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
Talking about the guy who went over and gave a speech at the Pyongyang Blockchain Conference, talking about Bitcoin and how to use it to evade economic sanctions, which isn't like a secret. Hey, I mean, let's give somebody a speech about Bitcoin that, you know, isn't going to cover anything that people who haven't spent, you know, an hour online to research it don't already know. Now, look, I didn't see the guy's speech, but I can't imagine that he told anybody anything that wasn't already immediately available in 1,000 other online venues. But the fact that he went and did it is enough reason for the federal government to swoop him up and take him into custody.
And, you know, the longer we talk about this story, I'm beginning to wonder if we are hearing all the facts. You know, what was this guy doing over there? What were his true intentions? Was it just a cryptocurrency meeting? Or maybe there was something else going on. Maybe he was muling, or maybe he's an agent.
For the feds?
For Singapore, maybe. Who knows?
Well, he lived in Singapore, apparently, but he was a U.S. citizen, and he made the mistake of not only asking permission to go to North Korea, which was subsequently denied. He went anyway, traveled through China to get there, and then gave the speech, then got picked up, and then spoke with the FBI, admitting to them, showing them photographs of himself giving the speech. So proof positive. Guess they didn't have somebody there to like take pictures. He went ahead and gave them the evidence that they need to charge him with this stuff. According to Emmanuel Goldstein, the publisher of the Hacker magazine 2600, the Hacker Quarterly, he said that he had told him it was a trap, but yet he insisted. Griffith insisted on speaking to the FBI without an attorney. The U.S. government amended sanctions against North Korea in 2018 to prohibit, quote, a U.S. person wherever located from exporting technology to North Korea. So if you send them any kind of technology, send a flash drive to North Korea, you are committing a federal crime. Prosecutors said Griffith acknowledged to the FBI that his presentation amounted to a transfer of technical knowledge to conference attendees. I mean, he's just signing his own death warrant here. I mean, you can just imagine, they asked him the question, well, wouldn't you agree this is a transfer of technical knowledge to the conference? Why, yes, that's exactly what I intended to do. Okay, you're under arrest. A self-described former hacker who went on to get a doctorate in computer science, Griffith became something of a tech world enfant terrible. What does that mean?
Horrible child.
Okay. In the early 2000s.
Is it for real, Johnson? I hear infant there.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But he told the New York Times in 2008 he considered himself a, quote, disruptive technologist, unquote. In 2007, he created Wikiscanner, a tool that aimed to unmask people who anonymously edited entries in Wikipedia.
So apparently it's a French expression which traditionally refers to Wikipedia ad.
I'm getting an unruly
child, a French expression traditionally referring to a child who is terrifyingly candid by saying embarrassing things to parents or others. However, the expression has drawn multiple usage in careers of art, fashion, music, and other creative arts. In these careers, it implies a successful and often young genius who is very unorthodox, striking, and in some cases, offensive or rebellious.
So he's a loudmouth.
So he's like a French Asperger's.
It's just a French expression.
We should get him on this show. French.
Well, I mean, if you can get him to call in from jail, I don't know if he's got. I don't know if he's got any bail on this thing yet. They're going to treat him like he is one of the worst. Wikiscanner essentially could determine the business, institutions, or government agencies that own the computers from which edits of Wikipedia were made. It quickly identified businesses that had sabotaged competitors' entries and government agencies that had rewritten history, among other findings. That's a pretty useful tool. He said at the time in 2007, quote, I'm quite pleased to see the mainstream media enjoying the public relations disaster fireworks as I am. Wikipedia creator Jimmy Wales, for his part, said he welcomed Wikiscanner as a tool of transparency. 4 years earlier, as a college student at the University of Alabama, Griffith and a student at another university were about to tell a hacker conference about a purported security flaws in a widely used campus debit card system when the manufacturer sued them. They had posted online about ways to exploit the alleged flaws to get free vending machine sodas, laundry machine use, and more. A judge barred the students from discussing the card swiping system. In a settlement a few months later, they apologized to the company, promised to never actually build a transaction processing device, and agreed to complete 40 hours of community service. So they've been on, or he's been on the FBI's radar for some time, but he definitely came back on their radar if he wasn't already on it when he asked them permission, asked the federal government permission to go over to North Korea. So there's your story about the guy who is currently sitting in a jail cell for speaking. And I think that's outrageous. I think that he should have been free to make that speech. And if the government doesn't like it, well, too bad. I mean, does free speech mean something or not? Apparently not. Because as long as you've said things the government doesn't like, they come after you. Whether it's this guy or Cody Wilson from Defense Distributed, who was targeted for selling gun plants.
Yeah, what if he
plants?
Had said everything that he said in this at this conference in North Korea, right? Mm-hmm. But instead, he said it on U.S. soil, online, and it was streamed to the conference.
To the conference? Probably would be North just Korea. As illegal.
But how so, right? Because he's...
He's helping Americans with their...
The enemy.
You know, another thing I found interesting in the article is that they noticed a few out of 100 attendants.
That's all they said were attending, yeah.
But they said they only noticed a few of them were government employee or government officials.
That's the claim.
So I'm wondering who these other 98 people were.
Yeah, it's not like anybody has internet access over there. So I would think that most of them would be government attendees.
And exactly. That's where I'm getting at. Yeah. So who are these other people? And, you know, is it... Do we actually know what's going on in North Korea is my question. Because, I mean, we're not allowed to know.
Well, I don't know how they even know. Again, it says here the conference was attended by 100 people, said prosecutors, including several who appeared to work for the North Korean government.
So there might not have been any government employees there.
How do they even know?
Unless they had their own guy there.
That's what I'm saying. Unless the FBI had an undercover agent attending this conference, how would they be able to identify who the attendees were?
And maybe their guy, the guy in the Treasury Department, the OFAC or whatever it was, heard this Grizzle guy, Griffin, Grizzle, Griffin?
Griffith.
Heard him talking, you know, maybe he was leaking some information that he shouldn't have. And
I'd love to see the presentation.
I would too.
I mean, I don't know if it's online or anything like that, but... You know,
but if they're like the FBI and they're not allowed to record interviews, presentations, and it's just their say at the end of the day, you know, they will never know.
Well, I mean,
and neither will the judge or a jury.
He obviously gave a presentation. He admitted that much.
Right.
I mean, he's dug his own grave here as far as the criminal charges are concerned. He's going to go to prison, likely, on whatever these charges are of, you know, being a bad boy going to North Korea charges. So it's tragic. The toll-free number here tonight, 855-450-FREE. So far tonight, we've covered some pretty outrageous stories. One, the guy who is he's in jail indefinitely. He's in essentially the equivalent of Guantanamo Bay. I mean, maybe they're not torturing him because it says he was working in the jail kitchen or whatever. So, I mean, it's probably not as bad as Guantanamo Bay, but he's living in jail forever. Because they don't have anywhere to send him, and they don't want to let him out, even though he's actually never harmed anybody. That's the first story we covered. And now you got a guy who's been arrested for simply giving a speech. And I think it's just tragic. The toll-free number here, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
I wonder if Dennis Rodman went to this conference, if he would have gotten away with it.
Great question. How come it's okay for Dennis Rodman to go over and teach basketball camp?
Well, he's not spilling secrets that we don't want them to have because it'll help their economic issues that they're suffering.
You're also not allowed to make memes. That's another thing.
Ooh, you've got a related story on this.
Wait, this is like the Winnie the Pooh Bear almost? Or it's North Korea?
Nope, it's the United States. And the Justice Department is going after... A graphic designer who used to make memes for WikiLeaks.
Oh, well, you can make memes, just not for the wrong groups.
Well, right.
You can't speak to the wrong people. You can't make memes to support the wrong websites. We're going to talk about that story coming up here, Johnson. You've got it for us on the way. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we got a full hour to go here. Plenty of time for you if you want to join us. Plus, if we get the chance, we'll talk about the dollars that are invading Venezuela. I'd rather have that happen than troops. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. The Meme Wars comes up here next on Free Talk Live.
Are you sick of hearing the same crap on libertarian podcasts? Inside jokes, interviews of the same person you've heard 50 times? Then you need to listen to the Lava Flow podcast. No nonsense and to the point. Get the information you need and get out. You won't hear the latest libertarian circle jerk news here, but instead hard-hitting anti-statist news with me, Roger Paxton, shooting from the lip. LAVA stands for Libertarian, Anarcho-Capitalist, Voluntarist, and Agorist. And if you think you fit any of these categories, then this is the podcast for you. Listen now at thelavaflow.com to find out what's rustling my jimmies, what's in the news, the latest bad cop, stupid stuff statists are saying, and so much more. You can find out more and subscribe on any podcatcher at thelavaflow.com. That's thelavaflow.com, part of the Pax Libertas Productions podcast network.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
And of course, you can bring up anything that you want. We've been talking about some pretty outrageous news headlines here tonight. Man is being detained forever inside the United States. The first time ever under the Patriot Act. We discussed that in the first hour of the program. Now, another guy being arrested and held for who knows how long, charged criminally for going and giving a presentation about Bitcoin technology in North Korea. So you can give presentations about Bitcoin technology anywhere else in the world except for North Korea. Probably they wouldn't like it if he went to Iran. Anywhere where there's sanctions against, you're not supposed to go and do that, they say. And so he's facing criminal charges for engaging in freedom of speech. And now another freedom of speech related crackdown. Johnson, you've got a story that we're going to get into here about a meme designer mm-hmm. who has been targeted by the feds.
Yep, the Department of Justice. But this, I don't know necessarily if it's a freedom of speech violation in terms of like a constitutional freedom of speech violation, because this person is based out of the UK.
Let's
However,
talk about it.
The attack is on a United States based company. So Google LLC Legal Investigations recently informed WikiLeaks meme graphic designer Somerset Bean his Gmail account information had been handed over to the United States Department of Justice.
I want to get into it further, but let's bring Bad Slave on the line here. Bad Slave, you're on, calling from New Hampshire on the Discord lines. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call, gentlemen. I want to say that you know, where's the ACLU on any of this?
They commented on this story at the beginning of the show. The guy that's been detained forever, they're against that.
Okay, great. Yep. Well, I mean, it should be a simple thing. Is he releasing any IP? I mean, you know, the government defines what's proper IP and what's not.
IP meaning intellectual property.
Exactly.
Are you referring to the story we talked about the last hour about the programmer who or the hacker who went and spoke in North Korea? Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly. Yeah. So North.
I don't think that's what's prohibited. It's any kind of aid to the so-called adversary enemy.
But aid would be anything that, in fact, you know, somebody couldn't just find out on their own.
Well, good luck making that argument in court.
Well, if it's common data, if it's released data, I mean, you know, talking about it shouldn't be a problem.
Well, I agree with you in theory.
It's just another source, and you know, and I'm sorry, a federal government of any kind anywhere that plays these kinds of games is just barking up the wrong tree. These people are.
But don't you understand, Bad Slave? They have to make a statement. They have to make sure people know that this will not be tolerated in the land of the free. You can't just go around and speak.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know,
it's
how absurd.
Sick.
How absurd is that, sir?
It's the maximum absurdity. I mean, it's the First Amendment to the Constitution, to the Bill of Rights, because it's supposed to be the most important one. And it's just being violated on the claim that, oh, my God, North Korea.
The vast majority of federal law in the U.S. of A. is unconstitutional on the face of it and ought to be void and, you know, not subject to any charges or prosecution. The people should just be all over this, you know.
They won't be, because they also, you know, Ross Ulbricht's in prison too. There's plenty of people. How about Barrett Burnett, who was it? Burnett? I forget the last name of the guy, but there was a guy, Barrett Brown, that was it, who was arrested for sharing a link in an IRC chat room on the internet.
Well, the didn't link they was, go after this other guy too that killed himself?
Which guy that killed
recently,
himself?
Recently, Scott or something like that.
You're going to have to give me more than that, man. I'm sure there's people. I'm sure a few Scots have killed themselves recently.
Yeah.
Hey, Bad Slave, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. I mean, I wish people were upset about these things, but the guy going over to North Korea is just the latest example of somebody using free speech who has been thrown to the wolves by the FBI. Ross Ulbricht programmed a website, and he is in prison for the rest of his life. Two life sentences, as a matter of fact, plus 40 years. You can go to freeross.org and learn all about that. They've got a really great documentary there that they put together. It's video, it's audio. There's a text version with links and useful data and information to really kind of inform you on all about that case.
If more people knew about stories like this, there might be more people who were outraged.
Maybe.
Except guess what? Our media, the big mainstream media, the MSM, they are not covering these types of stories.
No, you might get something like
this on Democracy Now, but who watches that?
If they cover Ross Ulbricht's story, it's always like the Silk Road was the first evil cryptocurrency Bitcoin website selling heroin.
And you can even hire assassins.
Yeah, which you couldn't on the Silk Road. That was not an option there. But regardless, dude's been thrown down the well. And I'm sorry, programming a website is freedom of speech. Making memes is freedom of speech. Johnson, so what happened here? They came after Gmail. They came after Google, the feds, because somebody was working for Wikipedia making memes for them. Or WikiLeaks, sorry.
Right. So Bean is based in the United Kingdom, and apparently he was notified by Google when they became permitted to disclose the receipt of the legal process by U.S. authorities.
Because that's another thing. If you get a notice from the federal government, sometimes that notice says you can't tell anybody about it, or you get charged for telling someone about it.
So Google was not allowed to talk about it.
For some amount of time.
Until they were permitted.
Right.
By the way, do you have examples of any of these memes?
I don't know.
Why do you have to pay anyone to make memes for you? All you got to do is just get online and be like, hey, I got an idea, guys. Go with it.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I would think WikiLeaks would be able to get some pretty killer memes
for
free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nowadays, maybe not when they started, though.
Okay.
Because memes were kind of just starting.
When we say memes, we're talking about pictures with words on them.
I mean, you still need graphic designers to create them, so. I mean, it's just that nowadays everyone knows Photoshop and everyone can do it.
Well, now there's meme generators online where you just upload the photo and then that meme text is there.
Also, it did not exist in the early 2000s.
You're a little clueless on the history of your meme. You got know your own meme.
It's, right.
That's a great site.
So
beautiful.
Google said that they could not discuss the substance of the legal process.
Wow.
Finally received my badge of honor being posted. With notice that Google have handed over information related to my Google account to the U.S. Department of Justice. You think Assange's case is just about Assange? Think again. The online giant. Sure.
Assange is just the symbol.
Yeah.
He's just the most visible aspect of WikiLeaks. Yeah.
The online giant did not offer context as to why Bean's account was targeted and instead referred him to an agency reference number or case number on the legal process and then provides 1:18-SC-02921. WikiLeaks was one of the earliest and most controversial news outlets slash political watchdog groups to utilize cryptocurrency after famously being cut off from legacy finance, effectively attempting to starve the nonprofit out of existence.
One of the best things that probably could have happened to them because they held on to that coin. They held on to the Bitcoin.
Bean attempted to locate the case number provided through Google, finding search results revealed sealed versus sealed.
What?
Case is not available to the public. A follower found that, in fact, the case number appears tucked in a seizure warrant dating back to September of last year. That, in turn, referenced the infamous Mueller investigation, 233 pages of which have been posted online as well.
There's more.
There's more.
Okay, so a meme designer had his Google account handed over to the federal government. Google saying, we can tell you that much, but we can't really tell you anything else about the notice that was sent to us.
And somehow it started the Mueller investigation.
855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live. You bring up anything you want here. Talking about freedom of speech, or at least bemoaning the fact that it doesn't exist anymore. 855-450-FREE. You can join us on the radio here. And also want to make sure you know about Edge Wallet. It is a cryptocurrency wallet, and it's my favorite one. It's the one that I use more often than any other. Went to the Indian restaurant here in town tonight and spent my dash with my Edge Wallet. In fact, Edge Wallet will support multiple cryptos like Bitcoin, BTC, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, Stellar, and more. You can go to secure your freedom by downloading Edge Wallet. You can get it for iOS and Android devices. It allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold cryptocurrencies. Again, it's Edge Wallet. Go to edge.app if you want to visit their website and learn more about the technology behind Edge. I love it for new users because it's a username and password-based setup rather than the 12 or 24 words that most backup phrases are for cryptocurrency wallets. So it's a lot simpler for people to get started with. And even if you're an expert, you know, I don't want to say I'm an expert, but I'm experienced, I'll say that, with cryptocurrency. And it's still my favorite wallet because it's just so easy to use. Go to edge.app and secure your freedom with the Edge Wallet. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
All right, so Johnson, what was this guy's name from WikiLeaks?
Let me scroll back up here.
They targeted
Somerset Bean.
I don't know if that's his real name, but he's from the UK, so it could be.
Yeah.
They targeted this guy for making memes for WikiLeaks. And they came after his Google account. Google finally, and we don't know how long it was between when they sent Google the notice and when Google was finally able to legally reveal the fact that they had been sent that notice to this person. I guess really the question is
the interesting fact here, I think, though, is this, that, you know, they were attempting to locate the case number provided through Google, right?
The dude was attempting, right?
Yeah. And finding search results revealed sealed versus sealed, right? Case is not available to the public. So this is like completely, you know, what is this?
Well, he's not a U.S. citizen, so are they even obligated to have a public case against
him? I don't know, but I mean, it's sort of interesting that they're providing him this information and then it's sealed. But then found that the case number is apparently tucked in a seizure warrant dating back to September of last year, which in turn referenced the Mueller investigation, because, of course, 233 pages of it have been posted online. And so that's how they were able to locate that information and find that out. And it's apparently, it says BAH sealed information associated with redacted, stored at premises controlled by redacted. So,
wow.
Really interesting. So I guess it here says that that landmark report was the product of special inquiry into the 2016 presidential election and alleged meddling by Russia in manipulating election results, along with determining if the Trump campaign and subsequent administration violated applicable laws. WikiLeaks is widely considered by law enforcement.
Which they found they had not, right?
Right. WikiLeaks is widely considered by law enforcement to have been in cahoots with Russian intelligence, or at least hostile to Trump's then rival Hillary Clinton due to the media organization's release of private emails, which is ridiculous. I mean, they were trying to leak all government secrets to leak the truth.
WikiLeaks would have leaked Russian secrets, too.
Yep.
If WikiLeaks had been given, and they've leaked secrets about other governments, we just don't hear about those reports.
Yeah,
you know, the news doesn't make it out when WikiLeaks reveals that the, you know, president of Ecuador is corrupt. But that's the reason why they got rid of Julian Assange out of the Ecuadorian embassy.
Yeah.
Because
it's these chuckleheads with an agenda in the government that are looking to, like, it's Russian. They were in cahoots with Russians because they were attacking our beloved Hillary.
What were you saying, Conan?
I was just going to say it's not Russia anymore. It's Ukraine.
Yeah, whatever.
It's changed.
So the messages therein contain supposedly damaging and embarrassing information that might have turned U.S. voters against Clinton and toward Trump, a popular theory held. Almost no data in my Google account. As I very rarely use it, Bean explained, but obviously indicates some level of investigation beyond that. He attributed the Department of Justice interest in his activities to three things: vocal and active supporter of WikiLeaks and Assange for 10 years, was in a Twitter DM group that includes at WikiLeaks, and visited Assange several times at the embassy.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Julian Assange co-founded WikiLeaks and was a target of Hillary Clinton for years, including public death threats, and is now awaiting possible extradition to the U.S. while being incarcerated in the U.K.
Another tragic anti-free speech case, Julian Assange, to be extradited. I mean, if the U.S. gets its way, and of course the U.K. is likely to do the bidding of the United States. It hasn't happened yet, but extradition processes can take a long time. I mean, Kim.com. Kim.com, thank you, from Mega Upload. He's still fighting extradition. And that raid was like 2011 when they, remember the helicopter SWAT team came into his mansion and arrested him and in front of his family or whatever. It's a horrifying story. He's still trying to avoid being extradited. So this could take another, you know, decade or half a decade or whatever, all the while Julian Assange is being held in captivity in likely torturous conditions. So this dude in the UK, he hasn't been arrested, right? They just wanted to get access to his Gmail account.
Yeah, his Gmail account.
And they did.
Yep.
And as he pointed out,
he was forced to hand it over.
He didn't really have anything there anyway. And that's a good tip. Again, another tip for you. If there's important things that you have, don't store them on Google. Don't put them in your email
box. Large platforms that you don't control.
Exactly. Put it on...
Or if it is in a large platform that you don't control, make sure that it's super, super encrypted.
Encrypted, yeah.
And then in which case, I almost would recommend that you have it on a large platform so that they waste a bunch of time
trying to
decrypt it.
So, but yeah, these are basic tips here, but they're important because some people don't think about this stuff. They just think, oh, I've got my Gmail account. Oh, sure, just send whatever. Okay, if it's not encrypted, then you might as well just presume it's being read. Whether it's being read by Google to sell you advertising, which is the sort of the primary purpose of Gmail. That's why they give it to you. That's why Gmail's free, is because they want to sell you sell advertising to other companies that then want to sell you products. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, mind you. I think that's totally fine. That's the price you pay for a free email address. But if the government wants to get into it, Google is not going to stand in their way very firmly. They're going to get into it. And Google doesn't have any kind of built-in encryption. So the only way you're going to be able to protect your emails is if they are encrypted, say, by PGP encryption. And that takes extra steps.
Yep.
You know, if you want to protect information, you have to take extra steps. Do what Johnson's suggesting, and you got files on your Google Drive you want to protect? Put them in an encrypted file folder. Now, Johnson, do you recommend any kind of encryption process?
No, I mean, to be honest, I don't do it very much myself. There's not a lot that I care about protecting for the most part. So I just, you know, don't do things online if you don't really. that's the best thing.
Originally,
AirGap.
TrueCrypt was supposed to be a very good encryption
right.
system. Then they went under mysteriously.
Right.
People believe that they were essentially come after by the government.
Right.
And there's been a new one that's kind of taken over in their stead called VeraCrypt. I don't know if they're any good. I have not read of any audits. I don't know, to what extent the code's been audited of VeraCrypt. But those might be two starting points for people that are interested in that stuff. More coming up here. Free.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynavite.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Conan.
Of course, you can bring up anything you want. More dollars entering into Venezuela. They say there are more dollars in circulation there than Bolivar, which is a shocking thing to say. But first, have you heard of Caleb Jones? He's the creator of Alpha Male 2.0. And he has teamed up with Free Talk Live to host a free live webinar coming up on December 10th at 8 p.m. So that's 1 week from today. You can register for it right now over at alpha.freetalklive.com. Caleb has taught hundreds of thousands to create location-independent income and date women under their terms. Caleb asks questions like, one, what good is living in a free society if you don't live a free life? Two, have you ever wanted to work when you wanted to work instead of having to report to an office? Three, have you felt trapped by relationship rules like monogamy? To some, what Caleb teaches is controversial. However, he's not creating sound bites for shock value. He believes deeply in the Alpha 2.0 way of life, and he wants to help you be more than just a beta male or even more than an alpha male. He wants to help you become an alpha male 2.0. You can attend Caleb's free live webinar on Tuesday, December 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, or register now at alpha.freetalklive.com. That's alpha.freetalklive.com. So, Johnson, you've been telling us this story, and I don't know if is there more to it, or we can pretty much cover
it's
that.
Done. It's covered.
About a guy who had his Gmail account taken from him by Google at the behest of the federal government. Now, nothing has happened to him since then. They just, we want the account. It's ours now.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Will they let him back into it? It doesn't matter. He doesn't really care anyway, because as he pointed out, there wasn't really anything that he was storing in the account that was particularly important.
Will they be going after him for extradition? That's the next question.
Over meme making? It wouldn't surprise me at this point. I mean, putting a website together has gotten people put in prison. Ross Ulbricht is one example. They went after the guys who did Backpage. You remember that website? I didn't spend any time there, but as I understand it, that was one of those places where you could go and find, like, sexy personal ads that might be a front for prostitution. You know, those kinds of things. But they weren't advertising for prostitution. They were just allowing people to advertise their services on their website. Again, creating a website is illegal in the United States. And I think that's important. It bears repeating, and unfortunately, we're probably going to have the chance to repeat it because they're likely going to continue to arrest people for running websites. I mean, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here with that prediction. That seems pretty likely at this point. So anyway, if you want to comment, you're welcome to join us. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Let's change gears, Conan. Mandela Effect, Game of the Week, where do you want to start?
Game of the Week is a tease this week for next week, and that is I just picked up. And by the way, you have one. This is the last evening for the autumn Steam sale. One of the games I recommended a couple of weeks ago is like $2 right now.
Which game?
Evil Genius.
Oh, that's the one you. Yeah, okay.
Right now, I'm playing Fallout 4. Believe it or not, it's been out forever, and I don't hate it.
Did you expect to?
Well, I do watch reviews. I do watch a lot of, you know, purists.
Had you played the previous Fallout games?
I've played all of the previous Fallouts, including 1 and 2.
Wow, I never played those. I started with 3, and it was great.
My takeaway is the mods that I'm using, which I'll be reviewing, and which are making the game a lot better, and the fact that I went straight into survival mode.
Define what that is.
Survival is almost Iron Man. It is...
No saving?
Well, you can only save when you sleep.
Okay.
That's it.
But can't you sleep pretty much anywhere where there's no enemies?
No. It's not like Skyrim or something. You have to sleep.
There's got
to
be a bed, right?
You have to sleep in a bed or a sleeping bag.
Right.
All right. You take 200% damage, and you only give...
Whoa.
And you only do 50%. Yeah, so the damage you give and the damage you take is just incredibly increased.
Serious.
So,
wow, that's intense.
So one shots.
Is it also one of those things where you've got to like eat food to stay alive?
Oh yeah, you've got to monitor your hydration and your eating. Yeah.
Normally that's not in the game. Normally all you got to do is sleep and then you're good, right? Like that's it.
Correct. This is straight up survival, and there's a lot of survival games out there, and I think that this mode really has done
intense.
Well. It's intense.
Now, when did you start playing this? How many hours
game? I've got about 20 hours in right now.
Okay, so this is something you can talk about pretty significantly at this point, right? Like 20 hours is a good chunk of Fallout.
Because you have to pace yourself so slowly.
Well, right, because of the survival.
That mode. I'm still in the entryway.
Really?
I'm only at Concord.
Have you
right
gotten
now.
A Diamond City? You haven't gotten a Diamond City
Hell
or anything
no,
like that.
That's way over there. I'm in Concord.
Damn.
Okay, I just finished the power armor.
Okay. I see. Yeah, that is that's the first city.
Okay.
Right?
For next week, I'll have lots to talk about survival mode and the mods that I'm using.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about Fallout. I mean, Johnson, are you familiar with this series at all?
I'm familiar with it. I've played a little bit of Fallout 3, but I have not gone past it. I've not played New Vegas.
You've never beaten Fallout 3?
No.
Okay. I did play through both Fallout 3 and New Vegas. I thought New Vegas was the better of the two, but Fallout 3 was an excellent game. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed both of those. Fallout 4, I also liked that game. And the reason I got into these games is because they're very similar to the Elder Scrolls series, which is, they're made by the same company now, but the Elder Scrolls, for those that aren't familiar, it's a first-person kind of, I don't know, fantasy, you know, swords and axes and beasts and
I don't
whatever.
Have the patience for the RPGs. Like, I like Assassin's Creed style, Grand Theft Auto style, that's more fast-paced for me. It's same perspective, right, in terms of character. You can still, even especially with Assassin's Creed, you're leveling up a character. But when it comes to the combat style in Fallout 3, I've always, you know, like, if you go into the freestyle combat, right, in Fallout...
Use VATS.
VATS is a system that allows you to slow down time.
Right, which is
to shoot people.
Tedious. Extremely... tedious,
but
right?
You
have to use VATS, right? Because if you don't use VATS, you're going to run out of ammo and you're going to be like broke the entire game trying to keep up with ammo. But if you do use VATS, then the game is just awful and tedious, in my opinion. Because,
doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it bothers me immensely. It's
I love it.
So slow.
Wait, but you like building games. You like Minecraft and stuff like that.
Sure, right?
All right, Fallout 4? Yeah.
Is more like that.
You can build settlements.
Yeah. So I have seen a little bit of that. But
that's my least favorite part of the game.
It's fun. I love scrapping. I love finding stuff.
If you like that, then I would strongly recommend a game that's a little bit less known, 7 Days to Die.
It's on my list and it's on sale right now. And I decided, I think it's only like 60%, and I'm usually a 75-80%.
Is this another survival kind of game?
It's definitely a survival game.
Every 7 days, you get hit by an increasingly strong horde
of zombies
that try to break into your establishment.
Is it first person?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And you gotta like set up like defenses or something
like
that?
It's like Minecraft. So every single block in the game is destructible and you can. You know, build all these different devices and
well, in this game, you can have turrets and you know defenses.
It's basically like if you took Fallout 4 and Minecraft and put them together, probably.
Yeah, see, I've never played zombies. Minecraft, and I don't think it would really appeal to me.
The way people have historically described it is if Left 4 Dead and Minecraft had a baby.
Hmm. See, they also have that Fortnite game that's been real, like, hugely popular over the last couple of years, and I did try that out just because it was such a phenomenon. Like, all right, what's all this? What's all the hype about with this game? And I've heard that described as Minecraft plus a first-person shooter or something like that.
I would say Left 4 Dead, or not Left 4 Dead, 7 Days to Die is not going to be as fun if you're not playing with a group of people. Because it's, you know, it's like a community game. Like, you're going out on...
That's what's nice about the Fallout games is they're good single-player games.
Yeah, this, not so much. This is a game you want
to... turn them off when you're done, when you needed to go do something.
This is a game where you're going to want to be playing with other people, communicating. You guys can go and, like, clear houses together.
Yeah, I just don't do those games.
Not anymore.
More coming up here. We can talk more about Game of the Week, Fallout 4, also Conan has a
friends.
Mandela effect. There's more on the way here. You can take control of the airwaves. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're you know, doing a little video game geekery here with Ian Johnson and Conan, as Conan is sharing his Game of the Week preview, because you're only 20
hours isn't enough. I need more time.
You're 20 hours into Fallout 4, but you haven't even gotten out of the first city. And that's not because you aren't good. That's because you're playing like insane survival mode where you have to drink, you have to eat, you have to... You were just saying during the break, you have to sneak around everywhere.
I had to figure out antibiotics so I could cure insomnia, which, by the way, that's kind of silly, by the way, but... Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't sleep.
You had to
sleep on a regular mode. It lets you get just all these weird sicknesses and illnesses, and it's real. It's real.
Bad. that's crazy.
It's kind of funny too, because everything you're saying there too is part of this other game that's been around in development for many years.
Is it one of those games where they're not even done with it yet, where it's still in development?
Is this Rust? Yep. Or is this Seven Days to Die?
7 Days to Die. By the way,
I kind of skipped over it because I was watching reviews.
Yeah.
And it's like, it used to be really good, and now no one's taking care of it anymore.
Well,
and
you're watching reviews.
It's backwards?
You're watching reviews for the console edition, because the console... There was a legal battle,
right?
And they lost control of it in that whole Telltale Games thing. When Telltale Games went out of business, Telltale Games somehow had the rights to the console version of 7 Days to Die, and so there was like a whole like thing where they couldn't update. They still can't update the
kids.
Game
why can't something. We just all go PC? Why do you even mess around with a stupid? You can't do anything. You can't mod, or if you do,
Fallout 3 on the PlayStation 3, and it was a great game.
But I gotta say, my favorite overall early access game. There's an early access game that's been in development, but they're in a really quick development cycle, and the game is not very buggy. I haven't experienced very many bugs, and it's beautiful. It's Satisfactory.
That's the name of the game.
Satisfactory is that's the name of the game, and it's awesome. It's a fun game, and it's just so pretty.
It's satisfactory.
Yeah, it's very it's extremely satisfactory.
Speaking of taking care of your health, Washington politicians are making decisions about you and your family's health care. And if you're sick of it and sick of Obamacare, which, as you are told, was going to help you get affordable health care with a choice, which in reality has turned to high-priced insurance with little choice, the team at BetterPlans.net believe there was a better way to do health insurance, and they figured it out. Call 800-714-1802. They'll send you a free stim pack. I'm kidding. That's not real. To get a fast and free quote, the truth is that you can get affordable health care plans that cost hundreds of dollars less per month. However, the first step is to become aware of how the wool's being pulled over your eyes. You can download their free ebook, Dirty Little Secrets, at betterplans.net. Check out their sample pricing for plans, which are every bit as good as the major providers' plans, for as little as $145 a month for single and even greater savings available for families and businesses. You'll get access to their educational videos and a free quote, plus your free ebook, Dirty Little Secrets, at betterplans.net. Obamacare's enrollment deadline is December 15th. Don't delay. Visit betterplans.net or call 800-714-1802, betterplans.net or 800-714-1802. I just want to comment on this early access concept. I just find this so offensive. having been around, you know, we're kind of a little on the older side compared to younger gamers, right? I mean, we're in our late 30s and early 40s and that kind of thing
it,
here.
It depends on the game to me. Like
But let's define what it is.
Sure.
As I understand it, I've never bought one of these things, but I've heard about them. You can now pay to access alpha and beta quality games, meaning games that are not yet finished. They're still being developed.
You're helping to develop the game.
That used to be what it was when you joined a beta and you did it for free. It used to be back in the day, hey, you want to come join Ultima Online?
Yeah,
we've got a beta.
Back
come
in the day,
in.
The game studios were huge single entities, right? Now, if you're a game studio and you're competing against EA or, you know, name another huge game studio, and you're a tiny nobody and you want to have a game that has the quality to compete and you want to hire developers, you have to make money.
Ian,
I see what you're saying.
I'm okay if the tiny developers are doing it. If EA did it, I would have
You'd be upset.
I would take issue.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it was beta and they were and I was playing for free to beta check their game.
Okay, and that's an interesting argument. I had not heard it come at that from that perspective, but I've also heard that some of these games just stay in beta forever.
Yeah,
and it's
some
just,
of them do. Yep, and that's absolutely true.
Like,
and
I mean, how much money are people paying to be a beta tester? Like, back when we were, you know, growing up or whatever, betas used to be a free thing that you did. You were helping find bugs. You were playing a relatively playable version of the game. Isn't it true that some of these early access is actually alpha tests?
Some
which,
of them, but
which
let
are
me,
like
let me
basically
say this.
Unplayable.
Let me say this though. You know, it still it comes down to just look at the reviews, right? Because so some of these games, you know, are in early access, and you know, I would be in the same boat as you and be really annoyed by it if the game weren't so. During that old time frame of games, when games were in development, that development process was slow. You weren't like things weren't happening to games. You know, like you'd buy a game and then that would pretty much be it. And even if a game's in development, it would be like months or years, you know, things between that. Games nowadays, for some of these games, when they release an update, there's like massive game altering new features that get added to these games as they're being developed. And it's like a cycle of like, you know, sometimes some games it's every couple weeks, every couple months, but they're really seriously updating the games. It's not like, and if it were something like that, where the game just, you know, was lackluster and wasn't getting any updates, wasn't getting any development, then yeah, that would really kind of stink.
I mean, I don't have as much of an objection to the fundraisers, you know, like where Indiegogo or whatever these online fundraising Kickstarters and things like that. And I guess in that case, you're paying for nothing because at that point, you're just paying for a promise of a game someday, right? Like, oh, you know, you'll get a copy of the game when we release it and you'll get a T-shirt or whatever. So I guess you've made a strong argument here, Johnson, but at least with the Indiegogos and the Kickstarters, you're paying a set amount. You know, okay, I'm going to come in at $20 level. I'm going to come in at $100 level. And you get a certain set of things for that. With the early access, what is a typical early access price? Like you're paying for the 7 days to, what was it?
No, it's Satisfactory.
Satisfactory?
So Satisfactory, I think I paid $19.99 for.
One time?
Yeah, one time.
So you don't have to pay monthly?
Oh, no.
Are some of them monthly? Or is it, what's the structure on these things?
I mean, it depends on the game. Uh-huh. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not paying for any of those games. That I'm not doing.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that some of them are just a one-time pay. Yeah. That's less objectionable to me because I got the impression that you're paying ongoing, be part of this ongoing thing. So you get your ticket and then you're in.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
Much.
And do you get the full copy when the game actually is released?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're already here. I mean, it's... The game is being updated, you know, iteratively. So, like, you're downloading an update, and it updates the game, you know, that kind of thing.
So, Fallout 4, Conan, you're playing on hardcore survival mode. Any thoughts on the game itself so far compared to its predecessors?
It's prettier.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's
now, the biggest difference is the text. Your dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You have an option. They've made it console friendly. So, you've got the four options. Every other Fallout, you had a whole tree of options of dialogue, and you don't have that any longer. So that's missing. But I'm, like I said, I'm having fun surviving.
Yeah.
And so I really don't need that aspect of the old. I'll just load up Fallout New Vegas if I want to have those hundreds and hundreds of different options and, you know, 10 different endings in the whole night. Well, I'm sure there's multiple endings for this game as well.
Yeah.
But no, I think...
Although that's one of the areas this game fails in compared to its predecessor, and I won't get into too much detail, but you're basically forced to choose sides later, and I don't like that.
Correct. And I've already read some reviews that say if you're going to do survival, stay away from some of the guild quests. Because
you can't survive them.
You can't survive them yet. you have to wait a little longer.
I will say there is a game that I've been a little bothered by that was, you know, like that I bought in $150, donated to a Kickstarter.
Woo, okay.
Yeah, so I was like really interested in this game, Star Citizen, released by the guy who
didn't
does...
Didn't they raise like $200 million or something like
no,
that?
No, their original goal on Kickstarter was $500,000. They've mm-hmm. raised over $250 million.
What?
And it's they started their Kickstarter in 2013. Well, guys, it's almost 2020. The game still hasn't released.
Oh my god.
Now the updates they're still developing and it does look incredible, but I don't know, like, when's it coming out?
Yeah, isn't this the guy who did the old Wing Commander games?
Yep.
So he knows what he's, you know,
absolutely,
he's got pedigree or whatever. Yeah. But
just I hope it's, you know, there's been a lot of stuff, there's been some really sketchy things that have happened around it, but
tune in next week, same time, same channel, for more of Conan's Game of the Week. Meanwhile, we'll see you online, freetalklive.com.
And maybe a Mandela.
And libertyminded.com. There's a crazy sale going on there. Is it still going on, Johnson?
Yeah, there's still sale going on. I'm letting it go on for the listeners so that a little bit longer here.
Get over there. Get some amazing...
Would it be nice to wake in the morning whenever you want and work whenever you feel like it? Date women under your terms instead of society's? Be a completely free man? I'm Caleb Jones, and I have taught hundreds of thousands of men how to create low-work, high-income businesses and how to date women under your terms. Come to our free webinar with a live Q&A with me so you can learn how to create location-independent income and date women the way you want. Go to alpha.freetalklive.com.
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is, the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called helpmetakebitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. helpmetakebitcoin.com.